Our message from God's Word tonight is from what I consider the most comforting chapter in the Bible, Romans chapter 8. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I have never been much of a fan of boxing. I really like sports. I am a great spectator of sports. But boxing, I don't know, never really turned my crank. However, when I was a boy, and then later as a teenager, there was a time in prize fighting that I would watch matches with my dad. And my dad, who was a pastor and not much of a fan of boxing either, he and I would sit down and watch Muhammad Ali, the greatest. And we would watch him, you know, there was no pay-per-view back then. It was on a television program called ABC Wide World of Sports. And every once in a while, there would be a Muhammad Ali boxing match on ABC. And my dad would impress upon me that what we were watching was a man who was making something very, very difficult look very, very easy with his footwork, his hand speed, the moves that he had, his strategy, his conditioning, his stamina. It was as if Ali kind of waded into the ring and actually into the whole world of prize fighting without anybody being able to lay a glove on him. I don't know if I'm the oldest guy in the room, but maybe close. But you might be able to remember, if you're my age, some of the interviews that Howard Cosell had with Muhammad Ali. And Ali would even like playfully challenge Cosell to find even one mark on his face from a fight. You can't find a mark on this pretty face, he would say. Again, it was as if this man could go into the brutality of the ring and be untouchable. But of course, he wasn't untouchable, was he? Over time, he succumbed to age and diminishing skills, and especially to the cumulative effect of all of those times in the ring when he most definitely was not untouchable. You can't be a human being, certainly not a prize fighter, and call yourself untouchable. However, you might be hoping that 2025 for you would be this period of being untouchable. But I doubt you would call 2024 such a time for yourself. And when Paul says to us today, as he did in that word that I read earlier, if God is for us, who can be against us? Our response might just be, well, that's great that God is for me, but there certainly seems like there's plenty against me right now. This is why I think it's so important as we're on the cusp of a new year. I think it's really important to hear exactly what the Apostle Paul is inspired to teach us tonight, what God is saying to us tonight. How is it that each one of us is absolutely untouchable as far as our standing with God is? Our status with God. How is it that not even the most severe forces in the universe can lay a glove on us as far as our status with God is concerned? In 2025, the Lord will provide. It's really as simple as that. But as Paul breaks it down in this most comforting chapter in the Bible, he teaches us that the Lord will provide in the new year with a defense that is impregnable because Christ's love is inseparable. So what do you need to be defended against in your life? Paul comes up with a really good list that we would do well to ask God to protect us from: trouble, hardship, persecution, no food, no clothing, danger, violent death. But when you think about it, the man who was inspired to write that suffered each one of them. When the Lord Jesus made this man called Saul of Tarsus, when he made him an apostle and when he made him a Christian, this guy signed up for all of the unpleasant things that he said God is going to protect us from. But his point is that those hardships, they're not the greatest enemy. The greatest enemy, well, listen to this. Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? Bring a charge against. That's our greatest enemy in 2025. Now, especially in Paul's epistles, when God wants us to think about our relationship with him, our standing with him, he takes us into a courtroom. Who will bring a charge against us? And it's not like, you know, Milwaukee County Circuit Court. It's not small claims court. This is God's courtroom. And you and I are sitting behind the defendant's table. And he's the judge. And he looks at us, and I dare say he points at us, and he says, Be holy, because I, the Lord your God, am holy. That's a quote from the Bible. Be holy, because I, the Lord your God, am holy. That is the standard that we are to live as far as our standing with God. Okay, well, Satan knows this too. And so does our conscience. Paul goes into this in Romans chapter 8. There's Satan and there's your conscience, and they're both like prosecutors who are hurling accusations against you. So there we are in the courtroom, and the standard of justice is be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. And here comes Satan, and here comes our conscience saying, oh, you're a Christian, huh? So you call yourself a Christian. Love one another. Love one another. Isn't that what you're supposed to do? But I know you. I've seen you. You can't even keep your temper with the people that should be nearest and dearest to you. And where are your consistently clean thoughts and your consistently kind words and your consistently good deeds? I know you. You're nothing more than a sinner. And you expect a holy, sinless God to just accept that? To call you his child? You can't live up to his holiness. And left to ourselves in that courtroom with those charges against us, what are we going to do except hang our head? Because there's really nothing we can say. We have no defense until the defender, which is a word that, a name that the Bible gives to our Lord Jesus, the defender, the advocate, the defense attorney. He walks into the courtroom and he says, oh, Father, this child of yours and this sibling of mine has not lived up to your perfect standard, but I have. And right here, right now, I give them my holiness. I cover them with my grace. Every sin paid for, every command that you have ever uttered, Father, kept through me. So what Paul is saying to you tonight in Romans chapter 8 is that your defense in 2025, it will never be like, you know, a philosophy. It will never even be a way of living, like if I just live the right way. Because those things ultimately are going to wither under the attacks of Satan and your own conscience. Your defense in 2025 is a person, a perfect substitute, one who came to live in your place and die in your place. And he stands over a defeated Satan and he says, your charges won't stick because this child is mine. The Apostle John said it this way in his first epistle, my dear children, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. See, that's what it means to be justified. Justified. God the judge looks at you covered in Christ's righteousness, and he declares you not guilty. You're justified in 2025. And as Paul says to us today, when God justifies you, there's nobody who can condemn you. Who can condemn you? In other words, nobody can reopen the case. That case is, it's closed, because you don't need to finish the work of the one who said, "It is finished." And as surely as the Lord Jesus fed thousands during his earthly ministry and provided for them in that way, and as surely as he provides for us with physical blessings, so also he means to provide for your soul, for your spirit in 2025 with this news that he has defended you against, what did we sing before the message? Against the charge of sin and the grave. We've got an impregnable defense against that, and here's why. Because Christ's love will never, ever be separated from you. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? It's not really a question that Paul asks. It's more like a claim. It's almost like a boast. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? But I wonder how the first people who read this, I wonder how they felt about that claim. They were Christians living in Rome, the center of the anti-Christian universe at the time. There would come a time, as we've heard over the last 2 months in our Revelation teaching series, there would come a time when I would imagine some of the same Christians who first read these words in Romans chapter 8 would end up in the Roman arena, where their violent deaths would be sport for the pagan crowd. Where is Christ's love then, Paul? He even quotes a psalm. We face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. And if that's true, Paul, how is it that Christ's love makes us more than conquerors? And sometimes I wonder how we receive these words from Paul. These statements of inseparable love and conquering love, how do they strike our ears? Where was Christ's love when you were in a car accident that wasn't your fault, but it changed your life? Where was Christ's love when you lost your job? Where was Christ's love when you're in the hospital unexpectedly, or in a rehab center and it just seems like it's never, ever going to get better? Where is Christ's love then when terrorists attack, when wars rage, when crime strikes, when violence erupts in the family? If it's so inseparable, where is it then? In one form or another, or in one circumstance or another, I think we ask that question because we wonder just exactly what kind of love Jesus has for us that never, ever goes away. And do you see how God answers that question today? He challenges us to see Christ's love as something that is really wholly independent of the stuff that happens to us that we call bad. He challenges us to see Christ's love not as a hot and cold thing, not as an on and off thing, not as an ebb and flow thing, but rather something that flows from the unchangeable God who took on flesh at Bethlehem and went to a cross in Jerusalem and conquered our grave for us. Christ's love is a fact that our circumstances and our feelings cannot change. Now, I don't say this because I want bad stuff to happen to you, nor do you want bad stuff to happen to me. But when bad stuff happens, we have each other as Christians making our way on this journey, and we remind one another, even though that happened, I know that Jesus loves you, and Jesus loves your loved ones. And while you love your loved ones, and I love mine, Jesus loves them perfectly. Martin Luther, who was certainly no stranger to hardship and persecution, once wrote, "If we want to go on being Christians, we need to close our eyes and open our ears." When challenges and tragedies and pain come your way, you can't just close your eyes to the reality, but you can open your ears to something else that is a reality. God has provided for you with an impregnable defense against the accusations of the evil one, with an inseparable love that flows freely and steadily from what God has done. That's your reality. And Christ's love for you will stand in 2025 and forever. Amen. Let us pray. My heart's delight, my crown most bright, Jesus, you are forever. Not wealth or pride or aught beside our bond of love shall sever. You are my Lord. Your precious word shall be my guide, whate'er betide. O teach me, Lord, to trust you. Amen.
This podcast is a production of St. Marcus Ministries. For similar content, subscribe to our St. Marcus Church YouTube channel or follow us on Facebook. If you're seeking ways to grow, serve, or give, download the Church Center app and add St. Marcus as your church. There, you can submit private prayer requests, receive weekly news updates, and more. If you enjoy these messages, please subscribe and share with a friend. Thank you for listening, and God bless.